We are ready to proceed and move into our Sunday school lesson for this morning. It is in the book of Acts chapter 5, and we're going to continue this segment within Acts chapter 5. You remember Acts chapter 5 began with the Ananias and Sapphira study, and now the apostles, once again, when they were out preaching in the temples, they had been arrested, and they got released by the angel of the Lord who came and released them. They were preaching in the temples, and they got arrested again. And they're going to be freed again this time, but not before they receive a punishment that they really didn't deserve. This is an ongoing persecution. We're going to talk about this a little bit. And it's important for us to recognize that you're sometimes going to be persecuted unjustly in different ways because of the stand you take for Christ. And that's an important part of, frankly, being a believer, recognizing those very things. I recognize it. I understand it. I see it. I know that Satan is very aggressive in making sure that individuals who are trusting in the Lord or trying to follow the Lord will sometimes face some sort of a harassment, if you don't want to call it anything else. Satan's going to harass you. He's going to bother you. He's going to give you all kinds of grief. And we have to remember that at the end of the day, the Lord is the one who is sovereign, and the Lord is the one who gives protection. That's why we stop and pray for matters of Brandon going over to Israel, because we know the reality is it's not just Brandon. There's a lot of folks going over there that are going to be doing some work, and Satan's going to be in the midst of that work, and we have to always be prayerful for protection for Brandon and others as well, too. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started with this. This is, I'm going to be also drawing upon what we read last week, because we need to, I kind of cut this in half to allow for time to look at the different aspects of what's being taught here. So we appreciate you joining us today, and I'm praying that everyone here within the sound of my voice remains truly focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to allow distractions to keep you derailed for long. You will get derailed. Things will put you on the side a little bit, but you always go back to the Lord and say, here am I, Lord. Here I am. If there's work to do, there are things to be done. There is, we have a lot of bigger fish to fry than what we sometimes realize. And so I think that that's the lesson for us today. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord with a word of prayer, and we will get started for today. Lord, you are worthy of our praise, and you're worthy because of all the things that you have done to prepare us and put us in situations, Lord, where now it's time for us to make sure that we are standing firm on your truth, proclaiming your truth, speaking your truth, reaching out to others who are in need of hearing the truth of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for enabling us. We know, Lord, that even though we are not always 100%, sometimes our health gets in the way a little bit. Lord, we will draw upon your strength and the power of the Spirit to be able to do and move and speak the things that you want spoken so that people can truly hear. Who will be the ones to speak? Who will be the ones to hear? May we be the ones to take the initiative to follow the truth according to what the Spirit teaches us. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning and for all time. We give you praise and thanks in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone, turn your Bibles and electronic devices to Acts chapter 5. Let's look at verses 33 to 42. Now, we're going to have to pick up also with what happened at the end of the reading from last week, just to see some context. Because the first verse I'm going to read in verse 33 talks about when they heard this. And I think that I'm going to read from 33 to 42, and we'll go back over that as we go back and look at the passage. Let's start with verse 33, Acts chapter 5, verse 33, reading from the New Living Translation. When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Verse 35. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow, Thutis, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. Verse 38, so my advice is this. My advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the high council, rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. That's Acts chapter 5, verses 33 through 42. And we need to recognize from this teaching that takes place here, Satan is very active in this particular passage because the opposition naturally are going to be the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Specifically here, the Sadducees, they are the ones, if you were to look back, if you have your Bibles open, look back and see what it says again at Acts chapter 5, verse 17. That's the very first verse we read last week. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Jealousy. They recognized that Peter and John, the ones who have been preaching very actively, and the other apostles as well too, they have been preaching and speaking about the truth of Jesus Christ. And these Sadducees recognized that these guys were getting all the attention. And it's not even about who they were directing the attention to, Jesus. It's the guys, the apostles, that were getting all the attention. And people were becoming believers in Jesus Christ by the droves. A ton of attention. And they were jealous. They were filled with spite. They wanted to send a message. Stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, who other than Satan would say something like that? At the end of the day, these people are saying, don't preach in the name of Jesus, but where's that coming from? Satan. Satan does not want the name of Jesus Christ preached. You better believe as you go to and fro and go about your business, people don't want to hear the name of Jesus Christ being preached. And we need to understand that sometimes we're going to be the brunt of that criticism if we go about our business and we're preaching about the name of Jesus. And here's my answer to that. So what? So what? What's more important to you? Because this is what Peter is saying, not Paul. Peter is saying here, we must obey God rather than any human authority. That's in Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than any human authority. So what if someone tells us you must not? And I think it comes to a point where we need to be sensitive to the Spirit and be ready to speak when the Spirit tells us to, and not hold back. Because the Spirit is giving us information and guidelines in this particular setting, in this particular place, wherever you are, the Spirit is giving you guidance to speak about the Spirit. If you're asked a question, if someone comes to you and has a question about something, whatever the scenario is, speak up about Jesus. Remember what we just read? They went from house to house to preach the message, Jesus is the Messiah. And because back then they went from house to house, obviously it was a risk sometimes to preach in the temple because the Sadducees and whoever who wanted to oppose the name of Jesus were going to come and have you hauled off and arrested. Well, at the end of the day, there's a testimony that might come from that, but it's better for you to move about from place to place, and perhaps it is house to house. You know, there are going to be a lot of house churches in the future, everybody. We've already tried to see, we've seen that with our Envision gang, the people that are working within the Alliance, doing the establishing churches in homes, and that's what they're trying to do, to get to do what? To be work within neighborhoods, to be missional, because that's what we're supposed to do, to be missional. Missional living starts in your neighborhood. It starts where you live. For my dad in Florida, it starts in the place where he lives. And he has people that he associates with and goes out to. And he recognizes that. He knows that. Same thing for Delia. You guys know, just to keep speaking the truth, and no matter where you go, if the Spirit compels you to speak about Jesus Christ, speak about Jesus Christ. Don't worry about who's around you. There may be Jewish people around you. Okay. Spirit says speak, speak. Because they need to hear the truth too. And so, that's where that so what comes from. Back to verse 33. When they heard this, what did they hear? Let's read what they heard. I'm going to go back to, I just read from Acts 5, verse 29. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." They were threatened. "We told you not to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ." So Peter answers, "We obey God. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross." That's verse 30. "And God put him in the place of honor at the right hand of the prince, as prince and savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him." Verse 33, when they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. It didn't matter anything about what Peter said to them. Peter's saying, "We obey God. We are proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. You know what you guys did, your ancestors, what you're doing." And at the end of the day, they're speaking truth. And if speaking truth means that someone's going to get furious with you and they want to do something to you, so what? You're proclaiming the good news. The heart of the individual's already got their mind made up. They're going to decide what they want to do with you, and you won't have a whole lot to say about it. The Holy Spirit will guide throughout that entire process. And remember what's promised during the days of persecution that are coming up, and Jesus proclaims this himself. He says, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit's going to speak for you. The Spirit's going to provide words for you. You might be tongue-tied, but guess what? The Spirit's going to loosen your tongue, and you will speak up. And you're going to be tongue-tied because it's going to be very fearful. And it's going to be a very tough time. And there are things that are going to be said. Now, I pray that we don't have to face that kind of persecution, because at the end of the day, I think it's important for every believer, and there aren't that many of us, there aren't that many of us. You know, we can't count on everybody who's in a church. I'm not speaking about our church. We can't count on people in all churches to speak up. We have a lot of people who says what? The love of many, because when stuff gets difficult, the love of many is going to grow cold. A lot of folks are going to run away. And before you say they ain't going to run away, doggone it, the apostles ran away right at the time when Jesus was being arrested and was being persecuted. And Jesus knew they were all going to run away. They ran away. And these were guys that had been with Jesus for 2 years, side by side, walking with him, spending time with him. Jesus enabled them with the power of the Spirit to be able to heal people, perform many miracles. And they still ran away. And boy, were they learning some lessons. They learned a lot about themselves. You know, we don't have the account of every apostle, but we have account of Peter's account. We know what he did. I will die for you. Yeah, sure you will. You would, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Three times. So we learn about how God teaches us in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficulty. Reading in Job is a great lesson about even how Job needed to be taught something through the midst of his adversity. Job was depressed. Job wanted his life to end. Job was speaking to his so-called friends. His own wife said, just curse God and kill yourself. But God was still trying to teach him something, even through all of that. And what was Job? A righteous man. Never did anything. If anything, he prayed for his family. He was praying for them to have a closer relationship with the Lord. He probably was praying for his wife to do the same thing, because based upon her response, she was also despondent. She was also angry. She had lost her entire family. But she responded differently than what Job did initially. When we go through difficulty, we are being taught. We are being given instruction. A lot of people don't want to hear that. I don't want to know anything about being, I don't need to know. I don't want to go through this stuff. Well, I'm sorry to inform you that when you signed up to be a believer in Jesus Christ, you signed up to go through stuff. And in that, you're going to be taught something that you needed to know. And many of us just need to see the goodness of God. We're being taught. And it's to the credit of the apostles, when they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. Do you think they were worried at the time about being killed? I don't think so. You have to recognize that they are boldly speaking about the name of Jesus Christ, because they recognize when they saw Jesus come back from the dead, and they were able to have that interaction with him for 40 days afterward in different opportunities. Nothing's going to stop you. You aren't worried about anybody killing you at that point. We're proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. That's why they kept speaking about it. And Satan, might as well say Satan was furious. Because that's essentially what was taking place here. Let's go to verse 34. But one member, back to Acts chapter 5, verse 34. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Who is Gamaliel? Well, first of all, we recognize he's an expert in the law, because that's what the scripture says. He was respected by all the people. In other words, when Gamaliel stood up, everybody paid attention. And we need to understand that God puts people in a position, in a place. You know, Gamaliel knew the law. He was an expert. He had authority. And he had the ability to order to send the men outside for a minute. But we also know that Gamaliel, if you look at comments, he was also Paul's teacher. When Saul was renamed Paul, there were some things that Paul had to learn. Remember, he was a new believer. And the word is that Paul had to go through about 15 years of teaching. About 15 years of teaching. And that's what we need to understand, too. As a new believer, apparently there's something about this being a new believer. You need this time to learn. You need to study. You need to go back and see all this stuff that you had studied before, and maybe some of that stuff you had studied and learned before needs to be untaught and retaught in a way that's correct. My brothers and sisters who are the Jehovah Witnesses, that comes to mind. A new believer who comes to mind, you got to be untaught a lot of stuff and retaught what's correct. I'm not going to go under that rock today. But that is true. Whether you're a JW or not, a lot of us, we have a different perspective on how things are done, how things are to be understood, because the Spirit's teaching us and giving us a new wisdom, a new set of knowledge. And Gamaliel was very astute. He just stood on what the word said and spoke it and taught it. And we recognize that God had placed him in that position right then and there to prevent the apostles from being killed. And that's exactly what he was. He was a stopper. He was a stopper. Verse 35. Then he said to his colleagues, "Men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men." Some time ago, there was that fellow Thutis who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. Now, I mention this because we have application of this in the present. The Jim Jones movement. A tragic movement. But Jim Jones got a bunch of people to follow him because they thought that Jim Jones was either the Messiah or Jim Jones was, they were convinced that he was the one who had this special authority to be able to proclaim what he proclaimed. And a lot of people lost their lives from that. So they were scattered, all right. And there are other examples of this. We don't need to necessarily go back and look at those examples. You could make an argument about David Koresh and the Branch Davidians down in Waco and the absolute madness that took place between them and the government. But that movement was scattered as well, too. People died because of it. So we have modern day examples of this. And I think that that is what Gamaliel is trying to tell the audience here that he's speaking to. Here's the tagline that he's giving us here. Look at verse 38. "So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown." Let me tell you something. Anybody who's in a church or above a church who is doing anything that is not proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, they are doing it on their own, and it will not succeed. It will not succeed. The people who are sitting under that, they're sitting there for reasons other than following Jesus. Because if they were listening for Jesus, if they're listening for the Spirit to speak to them, they'd be getting out of that church. Get out. But it'll come to nothing. Spirit doesn't work through people who don't want to follow him. Spirit's not going to act if leadership and all those who come underneath leadership, they're not following Jesus. And so they'll go like the ones that went in Acts 5, 36 and 37. "Leave these men alone," Gamaliel said. "Leave these men alone." Now, you'll notice that they didn't do that. They ultimately flogged them. If somebody is guilty of something, then you give them the correct punishment for it. But if you're innocent, let them go. But you see how Satan, they weren't listening completely to what Gamaliel was saying here. But verse 39 is the key here. If it is from God, if what these guys are saying is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. Now, why would Gamaliel say that? Because those Sadducees were fighting against God. He was trying to tell them, you're fighting against God. You're not doing anything but fighting against God. If you keep coming back and saying, we told you not to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and you say it out of jealousy, out of envy, that's what happened. They were jealous of the apostles. They didn't like the attention they were getting. They didn't like the fact that somehow these guys were released from jail. We're going to the jail to find them. They were already out there preaching somewhere, preaching in the temple. Have you ever had one of those days? If you're a Sadducee, it's like, how can this be happening? Why is this happening? You talk about totally turned upside down. And Gamaliel was calling to the attention of the Sadducees, you know what? Religious movements without Jesus are going to come and go. A lot of people sometimes get involved with church because of the feels. Feels isn't enough. Just because you hear good music or just because you hear praise going on, it's not about the feels, it's about your relationship with Jesus. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if it's just the feels, guess what? You're going to be all over the place. When the world starts handing you stuff, You're going to be the seed scattered on the ground. It won't root. It'll die right off. We have to have more than a relationship of the feels when it comes to Jesus. And honestly, what Gamaliel was trying to tell these guys who were just so furious and angry and pretty much going at getting out of control, Let it go. It'll stand on its own. But don't be the one to try to box God. His arms are longer. You won't hit him. You won't win that one. Don't put yourself in the position that you're fighting against God. So verse 40, the others accepted his advice. The others. Now, they accepted it, but the next verse, they called in the apostles and had them flogged. Well, that was a way to try to teach him a lesson. I mean, I know what it was. They wanted to try to teach him a lesson, and they were still told, they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go. But we've been through this before. They said the same thing before. And do you think the apostles will say, oh, okay, we won't do it anymore just because you told us to? I think we very clearly can see that the apostles were determined to keep proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, whether they were beaten, flogged, arrested, whatever it took, or killed. And we know this because most of them died. One went to exile for proclaiming the name of Jesus. Every one of the 12 apostles faced persecution, floggings, beatings. They're trying to show us something here, guys. We are not necessarily going to be flogged or beaten. I can't say 100% that's the case, because we don't know when. We don't know what people are going to do. There are people who have been, people already all over the world who have been martyred for their faith. So we can't say 100%. But we recognize that Peter and John were being warned repeatedly not to preach, but they kept going anyway. Do you see where I'm going with this? They kept doing it anyway because they were listening to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was guiding them all throughout this process. And I want you to look at verses 41 and 42 because we need to understand that the result after all of this, the apostles probably already bleeding, being beaten, left the high council rejoicing. How in the world can you rejoice after you've been given lashes and being whipped? Rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. There is no greater way to provide glory for the Lord than to suffer for Him. Suffer for His name's sake. They were rejoicing to God. It's probably a bad analogy, but you know, sometimes when we look at athletes, Carrie Strug comes to mind. She's an Olympic gymnast. I think she had broken or severely injured her leg and was still competing for her team. And I'm pretty sure the team won the gold medal anyway. And all that training, all that time spent, you know, the worst thing in the world, you don't want to be injured. But sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. She felt that the effort, she could have pulled out, didn't have to compete, could have just withdrawn. Nope, chose to compete. Did one of those jumps. I believe it was a running jump, and I don't remember exactly. It was a high beam or whatever it was. I can't remember that, but managed to land on one leg a little bit and take a bounce and put her hands up high. And I think that that's the lesson we need to take away from what happens here when we look at the apostles. You compete. You do it because Jesus tells you to do it, compels you to do it, because you love Him, and you compete. Now, you don't get on the sidelines. You stay after it. You can be. It was a vault. Thank you. I appreciate that. I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but hey, I knew Carrie Strug's name, so that tells you something right there. Not your average guy here. So, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer the disgrace for the name of Jesus. You share your faith no matter what the cost. We may not be beaten, but we may be ridiculed. We may be slandered. We may be ostracized. We may need to feel like we're alone. We're the only ones. We might be in a crowd of people, but we might feel like you're the only one in the room. But that's okay. You have Jesus with you. You can come back and say, you know what, so what? So what? And we don't think about being persecuted as being a blessing. And we don't think about it as something to rejoice about. But maybe we should. Maybe we need to change our way of thinking. Because it's not you that's being persecuted. It's Jesus who's being persecuted, accused, denied. That's where we need to focus. Don't take it personally. I think I said that last week. Don't take it personally. You're taking a stand for Jesus Christ. And you're going to be mocked or persecuted for your faith. You probably already have been mocked or persecuted for your faith. At some point. But always look at verse 41 as a reminder, Acts 5:41. Jesus put you in that position. You're glorifying him. You're worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house. Now this is our church expanding, isn't it? This is the new church expanding. So the teaching is taking place in the temple, maybe every day by someone, but it's also going from house to house. Because remember, there were people coming in to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the hotbed. That was where all the activity was. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go and praise the Lord there. But now we're seeing house to house is coming up. People are learning and being trained to be able to go and speak about the truth of Jesus from house to house. That's the whole premise of the missional living we were talking about. Go into your own neighborhoods. Go back to where you live. Go back to the place where you've been. For those of you who are still working, take it to your jobs. Be ready to speak about Jesus. I consider it an honor. I was explaining to someone the other day, my ministry is at work. My ministry is at home in my neighborhood. My ministry is certainly at my church. And the Lord speaks to me often, take care of the flock. Take care of the flock. Take care of those who are in the proximity. Take care of those who want to hear about Jesus Christ, because they need to be taken care of. We all need care. We need the care of Jesus Christ. We need the reassurance of his word. We need to be reassured. They continue to teach and preach this message, Jesus Messiah. You can't say it enough, because all of our focus has to be on Jesus Christ. It remains on Jesus Christ. It stays on Christ. Because Satan doesn't want us focused on Jesus Christ. Satan wants us distracted beyond all means. It's always good to be aware of what's going on, but I've also said many times, you know enough to know when you're being oversaturated with bad news. Turn that TV off. You know enough about what's going on. Sometimes it's psychological. Do you realize that the enemy, Satan, engages in psychological warfare? He absolutely does. You've got to know this, everybody. He wants you focused on yourself rather than focusing on Jesus. And I don't have enough time to go into how much Satan tries to do to distract you. But you kind of already know, don't you? For those of us who have been around the block a couple of times, we kind of know what Satan does to get us distracted and focused off of God's goodness, the goodness of Jesus Christ, the saving power of Jesus Christ, because of what he has done for us. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what he's done for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We want to be counted worthy as well. And we thank you for your presence. And we thank you for the teaching and the encouragement you give to us. Lord, we pray as we move forward that we are ready and prepared when you speak to us to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Proclaim that Jesus is needed as the Messiah, our Lord and our God, the one that we look to, the one that we focus on, the one who we have complete faith in and that we believe in. And for those of us who are scuffling with faith, Lord, give us a larger measure. Help us to be able to grow and mature as we learn more about you and go. And Lord, thank you for reminding us too that we need to often repent, because we live in a fleshly manner. And we thank you for forgiveness of sin in that area too. And we thank you that you do so readily when we come to you. Lord, there are many, many reasons why we should be praising you, and often we find reasons not to. Help us, Lord, with that. Correct us with that. Help us to remember you more and more. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We appreciate you joining us today for this edition of Live Stream Sunday School for Akron Alliance Fellowship Church. God bless you and take care of yourselves. And we will see you around the corner, and we'll see you next time.